Brunt, right now. Eugene Melnick.
I was listening. Yeah,
oh
I was listening.
Goodness gracious. I don't know. Somebody, we talked about it yesterday, and I should try and find it. But somebody went to the painstaking effort of walking through what has happened to that franchise, essentially since the death of Brian Murray. And yes. We've talked about it. Brian Murray seemed to be the guy who could put a bit of a muzzle on the owner. But just all across the board, between the Eric Carlson situation with Mike Hoffman, the first one, and then the trading of Stone and Duchesne, getting Duchesne in the first place and giving up the first round pick that you don't own now, and it could be a first overall, the trades, the outdoor game, but the day before he talks about how he might sell the team, can't get along with the owner, they can't get a new building. It's just been hit after hit after hit, and he's at it again yesterday and again this morning.
Yeah, well, it depends how far you want to go back. Like the ownership history of the Ottawa Senators going back to their beginnings, 1990, 91, I forget, one of those years, when Bruce Firestone, the guys who bought the team who didn't have any money, so I tend to think of them, right? That was the expansion where it was them and Tampa. Now, here in Hamilton, where I live, people take that's a bit of a sore point because they did have the money in Hamilton, and that the Senators were supposed to come to Hamilton, but it would appear that behind closed doors, the Leafs put the kibosh on that because they invoked their territorial rights, which everybody claims they don't have, but they do have. So instead, the team goes to Bruce Firestone, who has no money, and the other team goes to Tampa with Phil Esposito and, I believe, figures from Japanese organized crime, as far as anybody can tell, right? Like, no one, that was very mysterious money. So that was the old NHL. That's the way they operated. So, you know, the Senators, so they have owners who have no money. They're playing in a junior A rank. They finally get the building built in the middle of nowhere in Kanata. Then we move on to the Rod Brydon ownership, where, you know, he's tin cup Rod Brydon asking for money every day, whining about having to build his own overpass from the highway. It's always this kind of, and Gene comes in. I guess the point is that Gene comes in as the savior, right? He's the guy, he's got money. So finally we're going to have an owner who's got money and he loves hockey. And, you know, he revived the St. Michael's program in Toronto, the junior program. Gene Melnick is the savior in Ottawa. Finally, after all of these years of embarrassing, undercapitalized owners, he's going to make things right. And where are we now?
Mm-hmm.
He's astounding, right? He comes on with McCowan. He likes McCowan. You know, I'll just leave that. He likes McCowan, and he comes on the show all the time. But he, you know, because of the timing of that show, so that's kind of late after. So that's after, you know, that's at an hour when people probably, you know, feel okay having a drink. So he would come on from his bar down in Barbados, this place he hangs out at, and you know he was always very talkative, right? He'd said stuff. It was great. He's a great radio guest because you never knew what was going to happen. But the fact that he went on with Mendez yesterday morning, I assume that, so that explanation doesn't probably fly at 7 o'clock in the morning. But this, yeah, you couldn't do more damage if you tried. And, you know, you mentioned Brian Murray. He was the human shield there. He was the, you know, he was the hockey guy who everybody respected. He could get between Melnick and the fans. He was the kind of the calm, logical, trusted face of the organization. You know, got the team to the finals. A lot of good things in the Brian Murray era. And once, you know, after Brian died, Gene is an impossible guy to work for. And I don't necessarily blame it on, you know, the current administration. But, you know, I think what it tells you is that Brian Murray was a really special guy. And I'm not sure who could step in between Gene and the hockey team and Gene and the fans now. There is no barrier there now. We are filter free. And, you know, in a situation where the only solution for that team, the only way that team thrives in Ottawa is to go through the delicate negotiations to get a piece of government land downtown and build an arena as part of another kind of, you know, mega complex where there are political stakeholders, you need a private partner, there's all kinds of stuff that has to happen. It's going to be really touchy to get that done. Gene goes in and does stuff like this. You know, and he's, you know, he and his former partner are suing each other. He's yelling at the mayor. The mayor, you know, you need the mayor on side. You know, you might as well just, you know, get out the gasoline, squirt it all over everything, throw on a match, and watch the fire. It's
It seems like you don't see Eugene and the mayor shaking hands at the groundbreaking, hey?
No, not any. No, not anytime soon. No, I don't anticipate this thing. This beautiful new arena rising from the ashes and everybody being happy. So I think what's going on now is that, you know, everybody else. There are other potential owners in the weeds. There are other arena deals to be made, but none of them involve Eugene Melnyk. And you know, look, Gary Bettman and the league will stand behind him. To one thing we know about them. They will stand behind their owners, and you know Gary works for the owners, but he has stood behind some not particularly admirable owners over the years, and he will wait stuff out. So he's not going to pull the rug out from under him. But I think everybody else there is just waiting for this thing to implode, and then Gene being forced to sell, and somebody else, and again, whoever the new person is, I don't care who they are. It could be Boots Del Biagio. If they come in, they're going to, you know, scatter rose petals in front of them, roll out the red carpet, and give them an arena deal.
Mm-hmm. It seems like one of the few endearing qualities that Eugene Melnyk may have is the fact that he had Brian Murray and seemed to appreciate what he had and had his ear.
Yeah, the problem with that theory is that there's all these other guys who he could have appreciated and treated with respect and got out, you know, and let do their jobs that he didn't. So
yeah, no, I mean, because it's
I put that all on Brian Murray being an extraordinary person, probably not on Gene. You know, I God knows what behind doors Brian Murray had to do to defend Eugene Melnyk off,
yeah,
you know, to keep him out of the way.
Because we see on social media, he's already been on Ottawa Radio this morning, and Ian Mendez, who's a former Sportsnet guy and is one of the nicest guys in the world.
Yes.
Melnyk went on his show and called Ian Bush League.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, Mendez is, yeah, absolutely one of the nicest humans in the world, widely, widely respected. If you're a Senators fan, you know, Ian Mendez would be one of the kind of voices and faces of that team. He's, you know, he's been around doing broadcasting there for a long, long time. No one would say a bad word about Ian Mendez, except apparently one guy. So, yeah, why not? Like, why not just kind of complete the trifecta? Trifecta is only three. I'm trying to think of how many horrible things he's done in the last year. It's way more than three. But, you know, the threats to sell the team around the outdoor game, or move the team around the outdoor game, that bizarro interview with Borowiecki, he's covered every base you could possibly cover in terms of trying to alienate the owner from the fan base. And, you know, not to go too far down the road again, but I've talked about it down here before. You've got to, if you don't believe that the owner as a fan, as a consumer, if you don't believe the owner's kind of in line, that his goals are your goals, that you both want to win, that you both care about the team, you know, even if you have to kind of suspend disbelief sometimes, but once you break the bond between an owner and the fan base, it never gets put back together. It's over. If you think the guy is, you know, it's like Harold Ballard in Toronto way, way back. You know, people love the Leafs, but they were never going to love Harold Ballard. You know, because he broke that, you just didn't think he cared as much as you cared.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough one.
And, sorry, I was going to say, meanwhile, in Edmonton, you have Bob Nicholson.
Yes.
Who, what Bob's doing there.
Has already talked about how there's something in the water in Edmonton and things aren't right. And then yesterday went at a season ticket holder breakfast, was critiquing Tobias Reeder, who has no goals, and said, "We will not be resigning Tobias Reeder." Went into great detail, and Reeder's agent was not happy. His quote from yesterday, "I'm totally astonished and disappointed that the president of an NHL team can make such a callous and reckless statement about a player. This is unacceptable." So Bob Nicholson, not beloved in Edmonton at this point either.
You mean it's not all Tobias Reeder's fault?
I thought it was. I mean, I thought it was.
Get rid of him there. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, cups. Line him up.
Yeah. He's been standing in their way, the great impediment, Tobias Reeder. I don't envy Bob Nicholson. I don't know what he's going to do there. You know, and again, if you talk to people in the league, you know, the owner in Edmonton is not as visible as Eugene Melnyk. Few owners are. Yeah, he probably won't be haranguing morning radio hosts in Edmonton anytime soon, but there are many people who say that the problems in Edmonton begin with the owner. So there you go. I think it's more likely that the owner is the issue than that Tobias Reeder is the issue.
And it's crazy, because you would think if you had a billionaire owner who lived in the city and loved the team, that every fan would clamor for that, wouldn't they?
Yep.
Right. That's what.
Well, in, in, Yeah, as long as they don't mess it up, right? You're right. In theory, that's what you want. I want somebody that is from here, that loves the team, that has buckets of money, you know, that where there'll never be an issue about whether we're spending to the cap, that will be able to fill the front office with smart and expensive people, that and then will sit back and put on his jersey and, you know, wave his pom-poms and let the hockey people do their jobs. That's the ideal owner, correct?
Would seem, so, some, yeah.
But somewhere in there, he's not that. Like, you know, he is rich. He is from Edmonton. He does love the Oilers. But I think that the notion of him being hands-off may be not entirely accurate.
Well, somebody's got to run that team.
Is it a I mean, there's only 32 teams in the league. But where is it on the list for people to go? And, like, honestly, is there a bit of a hesitation to go there, even if you're the most qualified?
Yeah, well, you mean as a front office guy? Like,
let's say Steve Yzerman, right? Steve Yzerman's leaving Tampa Bay. He's probably going to Detroit. But let's just assume that he's a free agent GM. What circumstance?
Joel Quenneville. A coach, too. Like, I mean,
what circumstance would those guys go there under the current framework?
Well, you know, part of it's getting paid, obviously, so you'd have to get paid. But I think if you're either one of those guys, you're seeking autonomy, right? You're seeking power. You don't want somebody hanging over your shoulder. Like, Steve Yzerman's not going to go into a place where he doesn't have, you know, full and complete autonomy and doesn't, you know, whether or not he wants to go to Edmonton, you know, he's in Detroit, his family's in Detroit. A lot of people say he's not going anywhere. People have said he might go to Seattle, but he may not be anxious to go anywhere, right? And he had a very good situation in Tampa with the owner and built a really good team, and he walked away from that. So, you know, to not do anything. So, but I think if you have leverage, what you're seeking is power. You know, all money and all of that stuff, resources to work with, but also personal, you know, you want to get paid. But you don't, you want to run the show. So, you know, and Edmonton has been, you know, like they've muddied the waters forever. You had the whole thing with the alumni hanging around, never going away, being given jobs. There's some baggage there that you know, if you took over the Carolina Hurricanes, you wouldn't have guys with famous names hanging around, because, you know, they got rid of Ron Francis, right? The new owner did that. But, you know, Edmonton's got that weird legacy thing that it's hard to get out from underneath that, especially when those guys are, I say, in paying positions.
It's got a weird feel to it, because already this season, with Peter Chiarelli at the helm, the feeling was, well, you can't let him do the trades. You can't let him sign players or go through trade deadline. And now you've got Bob Nicholson. He's going to hire the next GM. And I think the feeling is, well, you can't let this guy, who maybe doesn't know what he's doing, you can't let him hire the new GM, can you? They're going through it again.
But where does, you know, where does that stop, right? I think they kind of have to go forward with Nicholson and give him this, you know, one more go round here. I think they're kind of stuck with that, so they're going to have to trust Bob Nicholson. You know, even if people there may have doubts about Bob Nicholson at this point, for good reason. But I think that die is cast. So he's going to get another kick at the can here. And I don't know. As Connor McDavid's career ticks away, we can all from a distance watch this thing play out.
I'll take it as great news then, Stephen. Thank you for that.
Well, I that's what I was thinking. The people listening to this show probably aren't that upset about it.
Yeah, no, I think it's been a great year because they won't be dead last.
They have two players in the top five NHL scoring.
They do.
Drives me nuts. I mean, I love picking on the Oilers.
Yeah.
But that's embarrassing.
Yep. Well, their futility record, and, you know, I was with Mark Spector, I think, wrote a piece about that earlier in the week on Sportsnet.ca. Like, you're getting into kind of historic territory in terms of missing playoffs. And
their new goalie sucks.
With the best player in the game, even when you think
the best player in the game and a bunch of first overalls and all of those mechanisms that are supposed to prevent teams from missing the playoffs year after year after year.
Yeah.
You know, and then that one little flicker a couple of years ago where everybody said, aha, they're on the verge now. And then having that come down like a house of cards as well. It is, in some ways it just defies logic, doesn't it? Like, it just, everything that should not happen. You know, it's like rolling dice. Eventually certain numbers are going to come up just by chance. They seem to roll the same thing every year.
What's up for the weekend, sir?
What's up for the weekend? I've got a bunch of work to finish. I'm working on this Charlie Montoyo epic, which both the television and the written version, which will roll out at the end of next week, on the opening weekend for the Blue Jays. So I'm actually going to be doing a fair bit of that. You notice everybody got hurt in the last 3 days, right? Like everybody.
They had
no injuries all through spring training. Suddenly everybody's hurt. Dalton Pompey got hit by a bat in his locker. No, I'm not joking. Like, they think he has a concussion. How's that happen?
Was it Tonya Harding's?
That's one. Stuff happens, but even Charlie, they asked Charlie Montoyo about it yesterday, and they were trying to get him to explain how that could happen, and he could not explain it.
Got hit by a bat.
Yeah.
What are they playing out in the... Yeah, in the field, and the kid hit one and threw the bat, and it drilled him.
Yes, I know. Sitting
in
a stall.
It was sitting there. Yeah, it was an inert bat. It was just sitting there. So maybe that tells you that they're not quite past the bad luck stuff.
We shouldn't laugh. He's laying.
If there's something,
no, it's awful.
One thing that sums up Dalton Pompey.
Yeah, that's bad.
No. Yes. So, anyway, I'm sure it'll all be fine.
Thanks, Steve. See you next week.
See you, boys.